Let's open our Bibles and thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful word. And in Jesus' name, may we desire the truth insatiably. May we pant after it more and more. Praise God, as Brother David said, oh, like that wonderful little deer pants for the water. Praise God. Back in John 11 tonight, and we left off in that 19th verse. And I'm so thankful for this precious study in John in so many ways. I know for my own life, the Lord has just been sending the Spirit to open up more and more of the pattern of line upon line and precept upon precept. That wonderful bridal message that is just continued to be locked in the Word of God and then by the Spirit released and given to us and made our own, and how wonderful this is. But we've been watching this precious story starting last week, and how it reveals to us the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's very appropriate because his coming could be tonight. And this wooing has been going on for some time, but I thank the Lord it's about right now. But so illustrated in this 11th chapter is the 4th and 5th chapters of 1 Thessalonians. Jesus is coming. And as we read in the 7th verse last week, he says to his disciples, let us go again. Just as Jesus was here upon this earth, he said, in like manner, you're going to see me come again. And them that are looking for me, I will appear a second time. As Brother Paul said about that exalted rank of righteousness crown, he said, you know what, that's not only for me, but unto all them also that love is appearing. So praise the Lord that this precious chapter is all about that. And think of what Jesus is doing here when he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Matter of fact, all he's going to do is wake him from sleep. And that's exactly where we're at right now. And that's exactly what 1 Thessalonians 4 brings out, is that the dead in Christ shall rise first. At that sound of the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And as Jesus says, I go. See, he's not sending somebody else. He's not sending angels for this job. I go to get him. I go to get her. He's coming, praise God. So in verse 9 of that 11th chapter, just kind of getting us a little quickened as we launch into the last half of this thing tonight. He says, walk in the day, making sure we live in the fullness of truth and love as children of the day. That goes right back over there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that as Christians we are of the day. We're not of the night. So we shouldn't be sleeping and we shouldn't be drunken in the night as who? As the unbeliever is. And all that is all that the unbeliever could be. But as 1 Thessalonians 5 says, we shouldn't be like that. And it goes on to say, because we were meant and we were not, I should say, we were not meant and we were not appointed for wrath. And that wrath, if you look that up, it means the tribulation. See, we are not made. The child of God is not made, not intended to go into the tribulation. Did you know that? He is that all men would be saved, and those that are saved, can you imagine, to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Praise be to God. So that is not appointed for us to go there. But if we sleep, if we're going to sleep through this thing, if we're not going to be awake and alive and loving his appearing, if we don't know the story, if we don't understand the gospel, as we're going to read about those that are typed that don't understand about the coming of the Lord, it's all over the place in here. It's going to pass them by. And they're going to go into that tribulation time. Now, again, they won't be burned. They won't, in a sense, in that regard, as he talks about the wood, hay, and stubble, they'll still be saved. But what a sad thing to know you missed not just the best, but what God had intended for you, what God had sent his son to die for you to have, what he sent the Holy Spirit, what he absolutely before ordained that you would be born into this time, into this age, to receive the Holy Ghost, to grow up into him in all things. He did all of that for you. And he did all of that for his good pleasure too, for you to share equally in with him. It's pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? But that's what the Bible says. That's the promise of the Word of God. Amen. How much will we believe? How much glory will you see? He's going to ask Martha that in just a minute. And that's what he's asking us tonight. How much glory will you see? Okay. Kind of gets the chills going up on you, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Because why? Because we're purposed for glory. We're purposed for Philadelphia saints, spared from the tribulation, raptured to meet him in the sky, full bridal glory. Praise God. Vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. He's not shy about what he's intended for us, is he? And if you didn't get the first part of this last week, I encourage you, go to the website. Let the Spirit take you there, because it's all in here and it needs to be made yours. But now we're going to move on. And tonight is the second part, in a sense, of this rapture story. And the second part is, how will we meet him at his coming? Will we be ready? So verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now this verse is going to reveal, or begins to reveal, I should say, something very different in both of these sisters. It says that Martha hears of his coming. It's not that she had been expecting, even though she was the one that even requested, you know, that the Lord would come. But it's not that she's expecting him to come. She just hears that, oh, he's coming. Okay, well, okay, he's coming. And obviously she goes to meet him, and that's wonderful. But she hadn't been expecting him. And this reflects in this same verse that Mary, we see, is going to be sitting in the house. And I appreciate this so much, because in this type and shadow that we get here, Mary is waiting. It's not that she's denying this. She's just waiting. She is in a sense that she knows that he will come. She is still. She is calm. She is content. Just like those that love his appearing. The exalted rank, praise God, understand that that is all the grace of God. It's given. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. When I believe truly that he will perform the good work which he has begun, then you know what I begin to do? I rest. I don't have to fret. I rest in him. Not as though I'd already apprehended this thing. Don't get me wrong. But it's always the grace of God that I'm absolutely confident, not only dependent, but confident in, that he's going to perform that work. This was his whole purpose. This was the one thing for him. As the Father turned to him back there and said, "Son, it's not good for man to live alone." And people always say, "Oh yeah, that was Adam for Eve." Yes, I understand that. But more importantly, that was God speaking to his son Jesus. You're not going to live alone, son. You're going to have a wife. Praise be to God. It's all over in here, and we're thankful that the Spirit shows us this. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now this is proving even more of what is in the heart of Martha. This evidence of a lack of joy that is in Martha. And why is there a lack of joy? It's not because Lazarus has died. It's really not that. It's because she doesn't have understanding. It's because she doesn't know the purpose. Do you remember the whole purpose of why this suffering happened? Let's go back and read verse 4 of this same chapter. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified by it." Amen? Amen. Our sufferings together with him, praise God. He is glorified thereby. He is glorified by that. And just like it says there in Romans, that precious 18th, 19th, 20th verse and all of that, but specifically there, if you suffer together with me, you'll also be glorified together with me. See, it gives him glory. It glorifies the Son. Hallelujah. People always ask, what can you do for Jesus? You can be still and suffer together with him. Amen. And you don't have to try. You know that, don't you? Amen. Thing you have to try, I should say, to work on is those undue sufferings. Those ones that were self-induced. Amen. But he still even works that together for you good, doesn't he? Because he knows that. And praise God how he uses it all because of his great love to us. But this is the evidence of the lack of joy in Martha. It's because she doesn't understand. She doesn't know the purpose. And see, without believing and without understanding, without knowing the whole counsel of God, his brother was praying about, there is no full joy. See, the ones that finish with a full joy win him. Everybody's going to be joyous getting to heaven. But the question is, do you have the full joy? Do you know the fullness of it? Praise God. Are you filled with all the fullness of God? Of the fullness of this bridal mystery? See, we can even know all bridal mysteries. But you know what? If we don't have love, there's no joy. Just like we read last week about that them disciples. They did not understand the purpose of returning back to Judea to raise Lazarus. And so they didn't understand that glory. And what were they doing? They were fearing. And they feared because of their unbelief. They feared because they did not understand. They did not know. And that fear can also bring in bitterness and all sorts of qualities that never rest in the readied wife. Think of these things that are being brought out, whether it's bitterness, whether it's fear, whether it's unbelief. That's not the readied wife. You can know the story. You can know he's coming. But where is the heart? Where is that heart that it says that the husband, that virtuous woman's heart, the husband trusts in her? Isn't that something? The Lord saying that about, praise God, the potential of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that he rests in that, he trusts in that. It's amazing, isn't it? But it's the Word of God, amen? See, we rest in the Word of God, and he rests in the Word of God. Everybody's resting in the Word of God. And but for the Word of God, there is no rest. There's not going to be any rest. Oh, you might have happenings for a while, but you'll never have joy. No, you won't. Because joy is even in the night. Joy is even in the sorrow when you're abounding in the hope of the coming of the Lord. Verse 22. Martha says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So sweetly, Martha knows God, again, hears, and God is faithful. But yet Jesus has to remind her, you know, Martha, I am. You're going to tell her here, I am. And again, this so magnifies how under the potential of God most Christians believe. We believe so little of what is so abounding to believe. Amen. Because of circumstances, obviously, you could say it was the circumstances. I mean, this was death. It was over. Do you believe God even though you think it's over? I pray you do. Nothing's hard for him. Nothing is hard for him. So he's shown us so many different angles of believing and unbelief here, isn't he? From, well, the circumstance blew me away. This just looks like it's over, so I really can't believe that, but I'll believe to a lower threshold. Isn't that something? That's what trials can do to people when we don't look to the Lord. They can knock you right off the course. God help us, and he does, amen. God help us to live up to the means of the promise and the promises of God. Now, why do I say that? Is because verse 23 and 24. Now, let's read again. Jesus saith unto her, Martha, thy brother shall rise again. What is Martha saying to him? I know. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's something when, you know, you tell somebody in sincerity about a verse, you know, you encourage them in the Lord, and they say, well, I know that. But, you know, this is Martha telling Jesus, well, I know. That's so one thing I don't think I ever want to tell Jesus is I know. I'm thankful I do know, but there's a thankfulness in that no. You know what I'm saying? But I just thought that was kind of funny. And that sure is a Martha, isn't it? I know. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But see, this is what I'm getting at. She only believes in the last day resurrection. You see, he's trying to tell her, oh no, he's going to rise. He's going to rise now. He's going to be out from among. He's coming up early. But she's still stuck that, oh no, it's got to be the last day. And that's the most Christians I ever speak with. We're all going together. The last day. Nope. I'm looking to go first at the beginning of the Lord's day. Amen? Amen? You looking to the last day or you looking for the Lord's day? And there's a huge difference. And words mean so much. And you can see faith by the grace of God that's just, you talk about so under the potential here. And it's so evident of what God is encouraging. And you can see Jesus testifying to her that, you know what? I'm going to raise him up now. I'm going to raise every man up in his own order. I'm going to raise them up in their own rank. Revelation shows us that even every company that's seen in heaven gets there at a different time. Praise be to God. It's all over in here. Old Testament showed us that, didn't it? Enoch, he went early. Elijah, got to have him. He's coming home. And over. So again, how much glory you will see all depends on how much glory you believe. See, Martha, all she could believe is last day. Oh, I'm going to be in heaven. How about I'm looking for the Lord to meet me in the sky tonight? Praise the Lord. Yes. It's all here. So we see this pattern in Martha. And we're going to see it again in the next chapter. Over and over with Martha. She represents that servant. She represents the servant that says, I know. You can't tell me anything. I know. I'm going to go out and serve the Lord. I got missions to do. I know. I know that the Lord's coming on the last day. And you just see Jesus, he just kind of stopped talking. Yep, you know. Be slow to speak and quick to hear. Just all over in here, isn't it? Just hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. But see, again, we'll see that pattern in the next chapter that Martha's going to be serving everybody. Because she knows. And you know who else she knows about? She knows Mary. Shouldn't be doing what Mary's doing. She knows about everybody else too. And she tells Jesus, again, I know Jesus. Tell her. Tell her. And Jesus told her, Martha, leave her alone. She's chosen the better place. Huh? There you go. Yes. See, this is the palm waver extraordinaire. It really is. It's the MO of the palm waver. No thought of ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ whatsoever. There's no evidence of joy. There's no evidence of rest. No evidence of true peace. No evidence of that absolute beyond believing. When Jesus says, you know, I'm going to raise him. Okay. That's all she had to say. Okay. Not I know. Okay. Show me, Lord. Amen? Praise God. It's good stuff. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. It's all right there, isn't it? He that believeth in me, not on me, not about me, in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, those are some mighty abounding words there. And thank God we know this, that we believe in him, we'll never die. Amen. But, as it says there, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But now let's read verse 26, how he says it this way. Because that would have been enough there if he was just talking about raising someone from the dead. Now he says it a different way. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It's a little different there. He's talking about in verse 25 that, you know, this fellow, yeah, he's dead, but he's going to live. But now he says, wait a second. He that believeth in me, liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Now I get it. I understand too. That applies just to those that have even passed and gone to sleep in the Lord. I get that, but there's more in here. There is far more in here in what this is saying. There's a difference. Those that have died will be raised, is verse 25, but verse 26, those that are alive and living to the coming of the Lord. Do you hear those words back there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, in the air. There it is. They never die. They won't see the first death, but they'll be raptured. And that's why he says to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Or did we just read through it and I got through the Bible in my 60-day course, which is a good thing. But did you take the better part? Did you believe it? Did you believe it? See, verse 27, she says to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now this response, once again, she says, well, I believe you're the Christ. So again, she sees his coming. She's not, again, encouraged in the power of his might. Now obviously the outpouring of the Holy Ghost hasn't come yet. The day of Pentecost isn't here. But this again is a type and shadow to us. She passes on the power of his resurrection. She's passing on the very power of the Holy Ghost. That, no, Lord, this isn't just something that's going to be in the last day. You said that you could open this up now, that you could raise him now, because you are the resurrection and the life. I am that I am. I don't have to wait for a day. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Amen? Yeah, we're going to see. He's going to say, take away the stone. He's going to open it up. And that's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to open it up. Verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way. So she said it again. And then she just went away. And called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calls for thee. Now, as we start this verse, I want you to understand this word secretly means she goes to her sister, and secretly says. And that word secretly means to escape notice. Listen to that. To escape notice. Do you know who's going to escape notice? The bride, when she's caught away, it's going to escape notice. Amen. It's a hidden thing. That's exactly what secretly means. It's to escape notice and hidden. And Mary, in this coming to Jesus right now, is magnifying that she's coming in a different manner that's going to escape notice and be hidden. So precious here. So again, Martha passes the opportunity that was right there before her, and she just leaves it. But she's encouraged to go call for Mary. And isn't that interesting how Martha refers to Jesus? Master. Back to teacher. again revealing the shortcoming of the love that was there for Martha that she could have received. Now, verse 29, as soon as Mary heard that, what did she do? She arose quickly and came unto him. Praise God. That's so wonderful. This arose quickly means speedily, without delay. Amazing what these words mean. Thinking again there of precious Rebecca. There was no delay in her. Will you go? Yep. Everybody wanted her to go with a delay and say, you got to wait a little bit. But nope, we got to go now. Without delay. There's no hesitation. It's got to be now. And praise God. The Shulamite showed us that at first time that the bridegroom came to her door, remember, she hesitated just for a minute. And what happened? She missed his coming, didn't she? But praise be to God for Rebecca. I want you to go with me over to Revelation 22. And there's a couple wonderful verses that have that same anticipation and that quickening of that without hesitation. And let's read those. Revelation 22, verse 12. Jesus says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So see, he comes without hesitation, without delay, just like she's going to meet him. They're going to meet just the same. That's how lovers do. One lights off a camel and one's running through the field. Know the story. They're like young roe bucks, aren't they? Man, those kids love each other. Can't keep them apart. Makes you smile. And then verse 20, what does John say at the very end there? He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. See, there's that anticipation. This is the lover's anticipation. This quickly, this without hesitation, this running. There's a difference. There's a difference. See, Martha was showing the difference. Oh, the Lord, yeah, we'll raise him up in the last day. We'll all get to heaven. It's good. It's going to be great. We'll gather at the river. We'll sing. Wonderful times. But there's worship, fervent love to kiss that belongs to a little company called the four living ones that are in the midst of the throne with him. And when they get in there, and I love it as it says in the Old Testament, you know, the priests were in that temple with them. But then the bride got in there, and the smoke started coming up. And everybody had to get out of there, even the priests, because that love was just too thick. The bride and the bridegroom were in season. Praise God. But it's got to be now. Lord, help our hearts to pant after you. Amen? All right. That's why, see, you know this, it begins to minister to you. You know this in the purpose of God sending the Holy Ghost. He'll shed the love of God abroad in your heart to believe it. You just pray for it. It'll come. Now, verse 30. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. See, again, this is so beautiful because, see, he didn't come all the way to the town. He didn't come all the way to earth when he comes to get his bride. He meets her in the air. He hadn't come all the way in. He's capturing her away, all right? He's come, but he doesn't come all the way in. He calls her away, and she meets him. There's that type there again. Out from among the camp, it's going on right now. Symbolizing all 1 Thessalonians 4 in the air. It's very sweet. Verse 31. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily. Again, they even make note. She gets up hastily, speedily, quickly. She's gone. And went out. They followed her, saying, she goes unto the grave to weep there. See, they didn't know, did they? Why? Well, the Jew, again, this represents that those that don't know, they're blinded. This is death we're talking about here. That's all they can think about, isn't it? If you're not saved, what are you thinking about? Because it's what you are. Death. Death. They're just thinking she was going to the grave. She wasn't going to the grave. She was going to meet Jesus. That's where she was going. That's where she was going to meet him. And what a testimony that is to us. But she rose up and she went to Jesus. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Again, there's your worshiper. There's your worshiper. It's different. It's different than the way Martha got. Martha got up into his face. Lord, if you... Mary's dropping. She's got that worship. All right? But it is interesting because she says basically the very same thing. There's a different heart here in it, but she says the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now again, this is different than when Martha. She first comes to the place of Jesus, it says here, Mary does, and she sees him. Martha didn't see him. Doesn't say anything about seeing Jesus. She was just sad. Again, we see that Mary falls to the ground, right to his feet. She worships. It's love. And yet she's saying the same thing that Martha said. It also shows that she's still not really full with the knowledge of what this is really all about. And that's so much encouragement again to us with the Word of God in so many ways. We can be very loving ones. We can be very, in a sense, worshipful ones. But see, without really knowing the truth, the paramount truth, going back to what all this was about, which is John 11:4. John 11:4. This is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Without knowing that message, you're never going to have the full joy. You see that? She even represents that there's so much there, but yet it's still not the fullest of joy. She's not yet in that rejoicing mode together with Jesus Christ of exactly what this is all about. Very wonderful stuff here and all of the layers and the meanings in this. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, this is so sweet because Jesus knows our hurt. Jesus, obviously, very God of very God, but very man of very man. He understands the sting of death that still exists. But I want us to look at this in the bridal view, this bridal truth that we're talking about. I do see his heart was also broken because of the unbelief. His heart was broken for Mary because she didn't see the full glory as I'm talking about there in verse 4 of this 11th chapter. There's a sadness there. And as well for the Jew, his people that are completely blind, goes on to say, he wept over that unbelieving Jerusalem. And he groaned and was troubled. That literally means he snorted and was angry. Can you imagine that? Snorted in anger? Was that at the people? No. At death and unbelief. At death and unbelief. This is godly anger. That old devil. Verse 34. And said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So sweet our Jesus touched with our infirmity. He knows our grief. He knows our pain. Verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. This another shadow of such precious truth. See, even the Jew here knows how much Jesus loved Lazarus. Okay? Revelation 3 about that Philadelphia company. What does he tell? He says, them of the synagogue of Satan are going to come. They're going to bow before your feet. They're going to know that I have loved thee. Amen. It's coming. This is it. This is all of those types and shadows, praise God, coming forth here. A lot here. I do encourage you, take a note, take a prayer, go lay down, meditate on it like that sweet cow under the tree. So that's how it is. But see, this is those full overcoming Philadelphia saints. As he says, I'll make known to thee that I love thee. And it's now and someday it's going to be known. And notice, this is for Lazarus he's talking about, the dead in Christ raised. Verse 37, and some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now, see how many being dealt with to believe here, contemplating who this Jesus is. And that's what's so beautiful. Even after the bride is taken, brothers and sisters, and all of that transpires thereafter, there's going to be a lot of witness. There's going to be a lot of testimony. And believe it or not, there are going to be those that believe. There are going to be those that come to Jesus. And praise be to God. All of that's going to be used, just like this is being used, for even those that are completely blind, that they get encouraged about what? The love. Wasn't it amazing? It's the love. See, love still draws. The ones that are caught up in the miracle, it's not going to happen. But it was that love. And that love is what touches them. So just keep that in mind as well too. Verse 38. Jesus therefore, again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Now this is getting real good here. Our Lord is groaning. And he is groaning. He's groaning to see us. He's groaning to, again, raise them from the dead. He's groaning right now. He's groaning to have death completely swallowed up in victory. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:54. See? Go over to 1 Corinthians 15:54. And this will speak to you a little bit more about what's going on here with Lazarus and raising him up in that type. In 1 Corinthians 15:54. It says, so when this corruptible, meaning this flesh, have put on incorruption, that's when I'm like him, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. And this again, speaking so much of this. And that stone, you see, has got to be rolled away. Heaven is going to have to be opened. And he is the one that's going to do this. And he's going to come, just like he's come for Lazarus, he's going to come for you. He'll come for me. And in verse 39, it goes on to say, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. You know, Martha and Peter have a very common streak about them, don't they? They just can't shut up. Listen to this. And every time they're opening their mouth, it's not joy. It's either talking about them or talking about the problem. Those are two big things. God help us to see Jesus, like Mary did, right? See Jesus. Listen to him. Get down, worship. Listen. So much. And see, Martha, again, going right back to the circumstance, going right back to the impossible, going right back to, well, at the last day. What are you doing, Lord? I think of this just like people saying, Jesse, why are you preaching the whole counsel of God? Why do you preach that bridal message? Why do you preach that message when there's so many people that really don't want to hear that? It'll even run them out of a church. Yes, it does. Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says very clearly, if you were ever trying to build a church and to build numbers, you know one thing you don't do? Don't preach sound doctrine. Don't. Because men will not endure sound doctrine. But Brother Paul, as he said to Timothy, Timothy, you preach the word. And as Brother Paul said, I'll tell you one thing, fellas, I didn't withhold a thing. And Paul showed how it was that, yep, people got euphoric, and a lot of people get euphoric, excited, incredibly, oh, this is the best thing since sliced bread, when they first hear the bridal message. But unfortunately, not too long thereafter, this ain't for me. As a child of God, it is. That's the sad part. It's who exactly it's intended for. But Peter, do you love me? Praise be to God. So this is how it cuts, doesn't it? So again, Martha is still stuck in unbelief. It shows here that she missed it. And all she can talk about, again, so sweetly, the 4 days. He's been dead 4 days. He's so weak, he's dead. That's who I'm going to raise. She's pointing that out. That's like those, now that guy's just too wicked. Huh? There's no way that one can be in the bride. He's just too weak. Mary, get up here. You're not doing anything. You're just worshiping. Isn't this a wonderful story? Hallelujah. And the righteous, the self-righteous, I should say. And that's the twinge of what Martha has here. They don't get it because they're not a lover. And they're in love. Leave them alone. As a matter of fact, don't leave them alone. You should. Yeah, that's not a bad deal. Why don't you be in love? Get over yourself. Amen. A lot here. So, verse 40. Jesus said unto Martha, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Wow. If thou wouldest believe, if you would just believe, you'd see the glory. You wouldn't quit, you'd quit on the negative. If you'd see the glory of what's going on in this age, you wouldn't be marching in Washington trying to change everybody's opinion. You'd quit sending me emails trying to join and to get into this cause. And, you know, pastor, if we just have one more pastor's name here, we can get this done. I don't want any part of that. I'm not going to be entangled in the affairs of this life. You see, this is just that same thing. But Jesus said, if you just believe it, you'd see this glory. That's how you receive everything from the Word of God, isn't it? You believed that God gave His Son to die for you to be saved. Amen? I believe. I'm born again, child of God. Amen. Those going on to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you see as the Word of God preaches there in that infilling. You need the infilling of the Holy Ghost to be led into all truth. You need the infilling of the Holy Ghost to have that love shed abroad. That is another, again, encouragement and a growth of our lives. It's a passage, hallelujah, that goes on into the depths, the treasure. Amen. But even though I have all of that capacity of love, even though I have all of that capacity of knowledge, if I'm never taught that, if I never learn that, I'll never understand it. Without a preacher, how shall they hear? Without a teacher, how shall they know? Amen. It's the truth. All right. So God help us to not to be like this. They are the ones that if they would have believed, they would have seen the glory. Those are the innumerable multitude that you see there in Revelation chapter 7 that have to have a tear wiped from their eye. Amen. When they're translated, they knew they missed the best because of unbelief. When you miss the plan of God, the perfect, complete plan, the mystery of Christ Jesus and the church, the bride for Jesus, I'll tell you what. That's an ache. Now let's wrap it up with verses 40 through 44. Or 41 through 44. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. So the stone's gone. So now it's open. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. Remember that, because we're going to talk about that in just a second. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You think Jesus is about ready to lift up his eyes again and say, Father, I thank thee, thou hast heard me. Huh? See, the Father's got to say, go. It's like the Father's getting ready to say, go, son. Go, son. Oh, hallelujah. And I knew that thou hearest me always. He's been hearing him for 2,000 years. Lord, can I go get her? Father, can I go get her? But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, like the trump of God, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Now that sounds like somebody I know. See, those that will be raised first, those that will see him will be like him. They'll be like him. They'll know him. They'll be conformable unto his death. They will know him. The Lord's ministering that to me right now. They'll know him. They'll be like him. They'll know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, made conformable unto his death. Wow. Wow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So as we close this up, we see that the door is going to be open. Jesus is going to lift up his eyes. Go ahead and read Genesis 24:63. Isaac, when Rebekah was ready, as she came over that last hill, it said Isaac lifted up his eyes and he saw her coming. And many will believe because of that event. But here is the purpose in 43. Come forth. Rise up, my love, my fair one. And come away. The trump of God, 1 Thessalonians 4. He calls him by name. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And in the next chapter, we will see, this chapter 12 we're going to get to, there's going to be a feast. And poor Martha, she's still serving. And sweet Mary, she's still worshiping. And can you imagine Lazarus, he's seated at the table right next to Jesus. And that as well is even another vision of what's even going on right now, if you see that. See, Lazarus too even represents the full overcomers in the Old Testament that are already there, that are seated with him round about the throne. Amen, the 24 elders. And the true worshiper, she's just worshiping. She's not busy doing, is she? Because as we're going to read in chapter 12 again, as Martha begins to complain about Mary, Martha, leave her alone. She has chosen the better part. So praise be to God. All the things that are here in 45 and 46, we'll just read it and close. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. And that's going to be. See, after the bride is taken, there's going to be Jews that believe, won't there? Isn't that sweet to what will go on? But some of them, oh yes, went their ways to the Pharisees and told them, oh, how terrible, what things Jesus. Notice, Jesus had done. Amen. Wonderful times. Yep, it's getting exciting. And praise God, we who believe are living proof of this. This word of God written in us. Epistles read of men. That's what I want to be. When people know me and see me by the grace of God, that's what I want them to be reading. Man. That's believing. Praise be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed.